This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, the famous Mike Bacsik, the famouser Alec Medford. Unfortunately, Corey is under the weather today.
Oh, he called me. He said, I'm done with you. He said,
that did not happen.
He said, you have 8 shows left and only 5 of them I have to be a part of in surprise. And so,
so you think he's going to box you out we get to
I don't think he's coming in Tuesday or Wednesday either.
Oh, man.
This is it for me. This is my third to last show in this studio ever.
How does that make you feel?
Fine. How many do you have left till we move to that other building?
I don't.
Well, I shouldn't say we, you guys.
Are we supposed to be talking about that? I don't know the
answer.
Yeah,
we're out of here, building.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you know that or not. We're done.
All right, so that sets the tone for what the program is going to probably be like today.
What are they going to do, fire me?
Oh, my God.
Huh? Like, oh, man, I can't work the last 8 days.
I told you this the other day, Mike. I swear, the way you talk sometimes, it's like your goal is to see if you can get fired.
I had a dream I got fired.
I have that dream about you all the time.
During this weekend, I had a dream I got fired. It was really confusing because then I'm like, do I get the 6 extra weeks of pay? Because if so, that's awesome. Thank you.
Oh, no.
That wasn't part of the dream. But, I mean, now that I'm just thinking out loud.
Okay, Mike, I hope you don't get fired, I guess, unless that's what you want.
There's no way they're paying me 6 extra weeks.
That's a good point. All right, let's go to hockey to start it off. Now, Mike, I need to ask this before we proceed any further.
Oh, no.
Did you watch any Four Nations on Saturday?
I saw the highlights on YouTube. So I saw the fights, and then I saw the goals, and I saw the defense that United States played.
Hell yeah.
How about that? That's good. That's more than I watched the NBA.
That's true. And I already kind of predicted that. So let's go to cut number 9. This is how you knew it was going to start off intense. And I want to point out, this person singing is from Canada. Aren't they like part of the Canadian Royal Guard or something like that? And I was like, okay. Maybe they'll cut this guy some slack because he eventually sang Oh Canada and everybody loved that. But this Canadian representative singing the Star Spangled Banner, it went super great.
I was singing the national anthems of the United States of Canada. Please welcome Warrant Officer Denny Moon of the Royal Canadian Air Force Band.
So they're like from the Royal and they're like, hey, oh, boo. This game was in Montreal. They booed continuously throughout the national anthem. Then when they played Oh Canada, that obviously everybody loved it. And then we get to, it took what? Literally maybe 2 seconds. It was 1 or 2 seconds.
When do you think they decide this, by the way? Do they decide it when they're just on on their kind of warm-ups as they're skating around, like you tell the person, I'm coming after you as soon as we drop the
puck.
I'll
tell you this, Mike.
And the other guy goes, great, because I want some.
Let's go to cut number eight. This is Brady Tkachuk talking about the start of the game. And it really feels like they had a little bit of this mapped out. Go ahead.
You know what? I think it just happened pretty organically. Matthew said he wanted to go first, and just happened. And you know what? It's over and done with now. Now it's an opportunity to win the game here.
When did Matthew say that?
You know what? It's right when we found out the starting lineup. He said he wanted a piece of him, and then coordinated with Benny there. And Millsy, you know, finished off with a big boy one too.
So once they found out the starting lineups, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to fight.
Now, was that fun? Were you watching live?
Yes, I was.
Was that awesome?
Amazing.
It was awesome. So fighting is awesome in sports?
I think in this atmosphere it was,
yeah,
because it was so like charged just in the intros. It felt like, Alec, it felt like a wrestling match, the way people lost their mind for one group, hated the other one, and then they just started throwing fists. And you're like, holy crap, this is going to be unbelievable. So let's go to cut number six.
Before we go, shouldn't like when Russell Westbrook screams in your face, if you just punch him right in his big mouth and knock all his teeth out, wouldn't that be awesome?
There's a little part of me that thinks that.
And then let's see if the little guys keep screaming at the big guys. And we're entertained by it.
Yes.
It's all about entertainment. We're changing the rules for entertainment in all these sports. Let's let fighting happen.
That crowd loved everything about the way that game started. Give me cut number six, 1 or 2 seconds in. Here we go.
Nation's face-off matchup is underway, and the gloves are off. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel.
Grapple around him. See if you could tell when the Canadian guy takes the other one.
Hagel from Tampa Bay, Tkachuk from Florida. Did not see this coming.
Right there. So you could stop it. But as you see, the fans freaking love it. So the way they do the setup is they have broadcaster up in the booth. They have somebody right down on the ice. And so cut number seven, I thought this was an excellent job of, if you want to call it sideline reporting or whatever, but he said straight away, and maybe it's in the clip, but he was like, oh, this is about to happen again, so get ready.
Well, Brady's out there, and Sam Bennett, who's been thrust out of their lineup tonight, he did not play against Sweden, is taking the faceoff. He's clearly in there to help match the United States physicality. Brings a lot of grit, a lot of sandpaper.
This was set up.
And here they come, Ray, you're right.
Right before the first Tkachuk fight, this was set up. Here you go.
They're not as happy this time because they're
Bennett in the lineup for the first time. Brady gets the better of this one.
All right. So
awesome.
What you missed right before that is the guy who you could hear right there at the end, who's down on the ice. He goes, 100% we won't make it 1 or 2 more seconds. Maybe not even before the puck hits the ice, before there is another fight. And so that's what happened. And then just a few seconds later, there was what looked like just a very nondescript, let's all skate to the goal. And then immediately that broke out into a fight as well. In the first 9 seconds, there were 3 fights. And it was crazy. Alec, I know from our text chain, you were also watching this live.
I was, and I joked at the end of the game. I was like, this needs to be a biannual thing,
yes,
because this is the most invested that I've been in non-Stars hockey in who knows how long. It's really intense. We talked about it last week. There's just like a certain pride that you can just feel oozing through the TV. You know, you joke about the NBA All-Star game. It's like, maybe I'll just shoot this 3 from the logo for fun. And the hockey players, you know, just a few hours before are like, I'm going to die for my country tonight.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and have some fun while we do it. But yeah, you just saw the intensity right off the rip. You saw right after that, everybody going into the penalty box, and the U.S. was shorthanded, but their penalty kill responded. I think in one of those clips, my favorite term, my favorite descriptor all night was sandpaper. That's what I felt like watching the U.S., especially their penalty kill. They were just gritty. Everything just seemed to be flowing. There was high, high energy all throughout the night. It was really, really fun.
So the coach for Canada, John Cooper, he was upset that they lost the game, right? Because they lost 3-1. But immediately, one of the first things he said in the post game was, the game is in a better place because last night's game existed. I guess that was the next day, obviously. Somebody from Sweden was that, like, because obviously they have a team playing as well. He goes, I knew it was going to be an electric start, but I maybe didn't expect 3 fights in 9 seconds. The arena was already pretty loud and the fans were already really emotionally charged. I guess that kind of took it to the next level. And then to what Alex said, one of the players said, you put the flag behind the meaning of something and guys' switches just kind of flip. And so
we saw this two years ago now in the World Baseball Classic.
100%. I thought about that because now Bettman is like, hey, we're going to bring back the World Cup of Hockey. And this is the first time, I think in like 10 years, we've seen like this sort of high level international competition with the best of the best. Players from the NHL included. And then you had to get to the game. Like, this took, I don't know, like 25 minutes and we're 9 seconds into the game. And so then you eventually get to the game itself and go ahead and give me cut number 5 because it was clear that, I felt clear to me that these were the best two teams.
Now it's Larkin with a burst of speed. He scores! Dylan Larkin in transition.
The United States would tag on another goal. They won 3-1. That was the empty net goal.
David McDavid scored for Canada, right?
That's Connor McDavid, not David McDavid is who you're referencing. But I wanted to already point out what a huge success this tournament has been for the NHL. You remember I told you the first game between Sweden and Canada drew 1 million people viewership on TNT. It was the highest TNT game that they'd had all season and the highest non-playoff game TNT had ever had. 1 million people. Saturday night, because I believe this game was also on ABC. I watched on ESPN Plus. 4.4 million people.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference.
According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
People watch this. To put that in perspective, that was the most watched non-Stanley Cup final game. Not even playoff game. Non-Stanley Cup final game in 6 years. And that was for a playoff game between Columbus and Boston. So this is the highest rated not in the finals game in 6 years. It feels safe to assume this has already been a success for the NHL. And I am going to go ahead and go not really out on a limb and say, if Canada wins today in regulation and you get Canada-US rematch Thursday for the championship, that feels like it's going to be even a bigger rating for the NHL.
I'm with you. They just need the NBA commissioner. What's Big Ears guy?
Adam Silver?
Yeah, Adam Silver. He just needs to fix it where it would make sure that you get United States versus Canada. He knows how to do it.
That is a good point. Alec, this has become, I know the United States plays again tonight and there's not really a ton on the line for them. Although I guess they could help determine who their opponent is in the final, depending
on the NBA. They know how to fix things.
That they do. Has this become a much must watch for you, Alec?
It has. And I heard the morning show talking about it a little bit, that this might be one of the weirdest weeks and most boring weeks typically in sports, because you do have the NBA All-Star break. Yep. You have the layover of spring training games are starting in a few days, but not quite right now. Football season just ended. Nobody cares about any of the spring leagues or anything really. So there's not a lot, like there's not a marquee boxing match that everybody's kind of hyping up right now. Heck, even in WWE, there's not really much to watch right now. So it's typically a really boring time, but I've found myself like genuinely amped to sit down and watch these hockey games, which usually for me, that's only playoff hockey when I'm talking about a bunch of guys that I don't typically watch on the ice. For the Stars, I try to catch every game, but for this, it's different. It just feels different. I'm genuinely amped every time I see it in the TV guide.
So somebody did ask who won the fights. I think, and especially if you factor in the takedown, not to go too MMA on this, I feel like you can make an argument Canada won the first fight, the United States won the second fight, and the third one was just like a big old scrum right there. So one win, one loss, one draw, felt very even across the board. But I wanted to give you a highlight from one other game in the Four Nations, because Mikael Granlund, one of the newest Dallas Stars, let's go to cut number 10. This is the call in Finnish, putting the game winner in the net.
Granlund, Mikkola mukana, Granlund, lauta!
So, Mikael Granlund, one of the newest Dallas Stars, he scores the game winner for Finland against Sweden, which obviously still keeps them in the mix for an opportunity to be there on Thursday. But I just love that call. I just love the passion. I love everything about the four nations. And I know we'll talk more about the NBA a little bit later, but just juxtapose that versus the general apathy or frustration people had with the new NBA All-Star format. And this is so, so much better.
Well, you just think about during the summertime, if you do bring up basketball, the Olympics was pretty awesome.
Yes.
With, you know, Steph Curry playing a great game. LeBron tried. That was awesome. I mean, that's a 50-50 proposition. These kind of country situations now have just been awesome in the three major sports. And golf is always awesome, too, when they do.
With the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that's always really fun to watch when you get that event happening in golf, too. So. Maybe we do away with teams and we just go to nations now playing each other.
Maybe just like in the breaks. I don't know how easy that would be to put together. It feels like we have a tough time in the world agreeing on things. But so far, Four Nations has been awesome. Noon, we'll have another game that we will Canada. Finland
Mexico?
In Canada. No, not Mexico is not in the four nations. So you get in this tournament, okay? Just so that doesn't get taken out
Brazil,
of context.
Brazil, they're good, right?
So Canada will play Finland at noon and then Sweden and the United States tonight.
Isn't that where Pele's from?
From Brazil?
Yeah.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with hockey?
Great athlete.
Okay.
Start a hockey team.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hurry back, Corey. Coming up next.
Yeah, Corey, you have to deal with this.
Just how much experimentation can players in the league pull off in spring training? Let's talk about that next right here on The Fan.
0-1. Langford hits one high and deep to left field. That one is not coming back. Pillar looks, it's out of here. That one clears both bullpens in straightaway left field.
That's Jared Sandler. He's in Surprise, Arizona, covering the Texas Rangers. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball here and baseball nuggets at 10:40-ish. And to Jake Ryan on YouTube, he says, Mike, can you do something about these Uber Eats commercials? I don't think I was paying attention. Are the Uber Eats commercials irritating?
It feels like we always have a commercial in rotation that some section of the audience finds annoying.
Yeah,
I'm
like little kids singing.
Okay, well, I'm specifically trying not to say any commercial, but all right. So I want to talk about something here, and we're going to be in spring training in a week. We're going to be in Surprise in a week doing our show. I want to start with how much experimentation can players who are locked into their spot pull off in spring training? Because can you explain just real quick in the past? Spring training can be the time for experimentation if you have that leeway. But for a lot of people, they're like, I can't experiment on nothing because I have to show you exactly what I can do.
Yeah, let's say you're Jesse Chavez. I think he's 40 years old now or 41. If you remember him, he used to be at the Rangers 5 or 6 years ago, and he's been around the big leagues. He has 15 to 20 years in the major leagues. He still can't work on anything this spring because he's trying to impress Bochy and Maddox and those guys that he should be part of the eight-man bullpen to start the year. He might retire if he doesn't make the team. So he's had times where he could try different things in plenty of spring trainings, but not this year. He's trying to show the Rangers, I can pitch in the major leagues for you right now. But if you're a guy, let's say Chris Martin, well, he might say, gosh, if I can throw this pitch this way, does this make me more viable in the pen? He's fine. He's going to be your seventh, eighth, or ninth inning guy this year. Dane Dunning can't. He got sent down to the minors last year. You know, if you weren't paying attention in September, they just sent Dane Dunning down to the minors. They're like, you're not good enough to be on our team anymore. And so for Dane Dunning, he's coming in with the mindset of, I got to show these guys again who I used to be, and I can be even better than the 2023 version of Dane Dunning. So You come in, if you're guaranteed a spot on the team, let's just say Evan Carter, he is guaranteed a spot on the team. He's not guaranteed to start as one of your nine. But last year, remember, he used to always use the counterbalance, the big knob on the...
Yeah.
And then he changed in spring training. He was fiddle farting around with a different bat to see if maybe he could get more elevation on the ball to be a little bit more of a power hitter. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he's messing around with different bats in spring training, or he just goes back to the counterbalance bat, which he had so much success in the minor leagues, and then that 2023 run in September and October. So there's different things that you can look for and see where guys stand in the box, see if they're standing more upright, if they're a wider base. You know, like there's all kinds of different things that guys could work on, but you have to be careful if you're fighting for your job.
So safe to say this individual is not fighting for their job, Paul Skeens. The pitching coach for the Pirates said, and I know sometimes there's disagreements about what kind of pitch actually is a specific pitch. And you're like, yeah, that's just what people say. But the pitching coach for the Pirates said that Paul Skeens is looking to add a running two-seam fastball and a cutter to his, clearly he's already had a hell of a start to his career.
Yeah, he wants to have a zero ERA.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's the time frame for... I guess not necessarily, I'm sure he didn't just walk out there for the first time and like, let me try this pitch out. But like, what's the time frame for how long it takes to really work on a pitch and like what you can tweak once you're up against live hitters?
Well, you can keep doing it pretty much all of spring training.
Yep.
And you get an idea. This is always, it. To me, I get it. They do get a lot of feedback from the computer to say how much the ball is spinning, like, is it spinning more sideways? Is it spinning, you know, more, let's say, north-south type of deal, which would be a fastball. Yeah. You know, a slider would be spinning more east-west or west-east, matters which hand you're throwing with. So they get all of that feedback. But to me, still, the hitter gives you the best feedback. If you start throwing, let's just say Paul Skeens is throwing a two-seam running fastball, and instead of, let's say, getting in on the hands of righties, they're getting the bat head out and they're hitting, you know, line drives to left field or hitting the ball well to the pull side if you're right-handed, or if you're left-handed, they're really hitting you hard up the middle, or that ball's just not doing what you're hoping it would do, or it's doing exactly what you thought it would do, but it's not getting any results that are good. Well, that's something that maybe I need to work more on the next off season, or I can tweak it in spring training in my next bullpen session to see if I can get maybe more depth on that two-seam fastball rather than just sideways action. And then you have to be careful on, there's no scouting reports in spring training. You're not pitching to anybody's strengths or weaknesses.
So potential early success could be a little bit of a smokescreen.
Rougned Odor can hit 400 if you throw him all fastballs.
Yeah.
Literally, he would have been a Hall of Famer. Look, we all make mistakes, right? Jared thought he was going to be a Hall of Fame player. I thought, you know, Trevor Lawrence was going to be a great quarterback. We all have predictions, and nobody's ever 100% on their predictions.
We'll do that segment at some point this week. Like, just tell us one of your predictions that you're like, well, I really dropped the ball on that one.
But you watch guys and you're like, oh my gosh, he's going to have a good year. I fell into a little bit of a trap with Wyatt Langford, right? As soon as they said, well, let's do this and do that, and you're not going to face any AAA and AA pitchers. You're going to face all big league pitchers in the big leagues, right? He struggled tremendously. He made great adjustments as the season continued. That's always the tough part is making in-season adjustments and they work out. But in spring training, you can keep messing around with things until you get to, let's say, March 27th, I believe, is opening day for the Texas Rangers against the Red Sox. That's when you have to go, hey, if I do it in this game and we lose, that costs my team a possible win. I can't do this now. Now, when you're up 7-0 in the fourth inning, maybe you're like, hey, you know, in the now's dugout, the you tell Jonah Heim or Higgy, whoever catching, like, hey, I want to throw a couple of two-seamers in this inning just to see where we're at, because most likely it's not going to kill me to throw a couple of them just to see if I can execute them in a real major league game. Or if you're down 7-0, you might want to try something different. But you don't want to cost your team a win by kind of experimenting in the regular season.
Now, we talked about that from the player perspective, and I'm sure we can always add more to that. But what about from a Major League Baseball point of view? Because And I'm really excited for Wyatt Langford for this. Did you see that Major League Baseball, or we haven't really talked about it a whole lot, that they're going to try out their automated ball and strike replay challenge system in spring training?
Yeah, so when I had to leave the other day at noon, that was our meeting.
Okay,
covered
was it?
Some of that, yeah.
Is there...
There's only certain parks that have it. Not all spring training parks have it, but in Surprise, they do have it. So there will be two... The rule they're looking at doing in 26, but they want to run it through spring training here, and they're going to do it in all of the minor league parks that have the technology to do it. So I'm going to assume the upper level minor league
with the hopes of eventually using it for regular season games.
They did a whole bunch of study on it. They asked fans, they asked players, they asked coaching staffs, they asked front offices. And they're coming up with what they think will be best for baseball going forward. Instead of having an automated strike zone where the umpire is actually doing very little in his ear, they'll tell him if it was a ball or strike and he can quickly change it, is you're going to have two challenges a game from each side. Now, if I recall, it doesn't matter if you get them wrong or right. There's only two.
So there's no bonus third.
You challenge, and it has to come from the hitter, the catcher, or the pitcher. Nowhere else. It cannot come from the dugout. They're worried that there'll be technology in the dugout, obviously those iPads, and if they see where the ball is on the iPad, they do not want a manager or another player yelling, challenge it, because they saw it on TV. The other thing, too, is, just to add to this, I'm giving a little bit of extra, and I don't know, Major League Baseball doesn't know how they're going to do this. They're thinking about in the future, you know, when you're watching the game this year on Rangers Sports Network, how you have the box where it shows if it's kind of a ball or strike as you're watching live. They think they're going to have to take that away. Not this year, but they don't want anybody seeing if it was a ball or strike in live action. Now, you have a great idea if it's a ball or strike. You're watching the game. But they don't want that box where it gives you a very good idea if it caught the corner or not. So that's something they're working on for 2026. How do we present the game on television where if we're going to have a challenge system, which probably will be next year in the major leagues, how do we do it where there's almost not a cheat code where we've put a box on the video screen where people in the stands, if they have their phone on
they
or
can
whatever,
see it in live
can you
action.
Challenge it? Challenge it's a ball. Yeah. They don't want somebody in the front row having that access and then yelling at the hitter it was a ball in a big situation. And then how much do managers have to talk to their players now as part of a strategy of, I don't mind if Langford you challenge, and it's the first pitch in the first inning to you, but we have runners on second and third and nobody out. Well, if you look at the percentages of a 1-0 count versus an 0-1 count, it's huge in Major League Baseball. So I understand you challenging there. If there's two outs and nobody on and we're in the first five innings, I don't care if it's strike three. We're not challenging there. The likelihood of us scoring with nobody on and two outs and you have a two-strike count on you is very low. We're just going to wear it as a bad call, and we'll move on to the next inning.
Now, you mentioned Wyatt Langford. I'm particularly interested in how this affects Wyatt Langford. I realize with only two challenges, the impact for a particular player might not be too high. However, Langford had the 17th highest percentage of called strikes against him last year that weren't strikes. And so I like seeing that kind of info because it felt like every day we were like, man, Langford keeps getting jobbed. Like we asked Bochy about it. But then you see of all the players in baseball who saw at least 2,000 pitches, he had the 17 most inaccurate calls. How big of a difference can that actually make like in a season? Because as you just said, only two challenges, only you don't have unlimited challenges. Could it change your mental perspective at all as well? Like, I don't know if last year, and I want to ask him about this in spring training, if he got caught up in that. I realize the right answer is like, oh, you just control what you control, but that's got to be in the back of your mind, right?
Oh, sure you get caught up in it because all it, in an at bat, whether it's a pitcher or a hitter, I'll come from a pitcher's perspective first. I throw a ball 3 inches off of the plate on the outside and the umpire calls it a strike. Why? I'm going to repeat that pitch. I know he can't hit it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to, maybe I don't immediately repeat it, but I know now I'm getting a ball off of the plate for a strike and I can take advantage of that. The hitter's perspective is, son of a gun, I have to now swing at balls off of the outside corner.
Yep.
So now you get them in more of a defensive mode and almost of like a negative mindset of, I have to swing at a pitch that's a ball because this umpire is calling that pitch a strike. Now, I know in high school guys will scoot up to the line or whatever and change where they stand in the box. 99% of major league hitters never change where they stand in the box, no matter who is pitching, most of the time, because guys just throw too good. There's, you stand at the back of the box. Now, how close or far away you stand from home plate is a difference. But if you go watch major league games, most guys are on the white line or close to the white line in the back of the box. They're not moving up because now they think a breaking ball is coming or stuff. That's high schoolish stuff. And I understand why to do it in high school. But I would say it does mess with you. And that's why you'll see guys chase below the zone if they feel like a ball was called maybe below the zone. And then you throw another breaking ball and you just throw it another 3 to 5 inches lower. I think he's going to swing at it because I saw his reaction. He was pissed about the call. He looked at the umpire. He didn't agree. And I'm like, well, now he's ticked. And now he thinks he's going to have to cover a part of the zone that's not a strike. Chase. So I'm going to get him to chase now even further down that zone. And use it to my advantage. It works the other way too. As a pitcher, you throw one that's definitely a strike and he calls it a ball. You're like, where the F do I have to throw the ball today for it to be a strike?
And you're worried you have to like throw it right in the zone to get a chance at a call.
And I wonder this, Julio Rodriguez, he had a similar percentage his rookie year in 22. I don't know why. The thing would be umpires don't respect rookies and they're going to have a wider strike zone.
Yeah.
And then as you prove that you're a good hitter, as you prove that maybe you're a great hitter, they're like, well, if he didn't swing at it, it's not a strike. I don't know if they ever called a strike on Barry Bonds for his last 7 years in the major leagues. It's like, if he didn't swing at it for some reason, they just would not call it a strike.
Does that not push the idea of just electronic umpiring altogether when you're like, let's take the emotion out of it and the feeling of
Yes, they took a poll of fans, players, and they said, we don't want an automated strike zone. And the other thing, too, is because they don't want Jake Berger being a catcher.
Yeah.
Like, nothing against Jake Berger, but, right, like, he's a corner infielder because that changes everything. Like, you don't have to frame anything. You just have to have a good arm back there and be able to keep the ball in front of you. Catching the ball well doesn't matter. So there's, like, and it could change over time, but as they're starting this off, we'll see it in spring training, you tap your head. Whoever it is, whether it's the catcher, whether it's the hitter, whether it's the pitcher, you tap your hat or your helmet and you say, I want that reviewed. You made a call. And they say it takes approximately 15 to 17 seconds.
Oh, okay.
It's very much like watching Wimbledon or the French Open. It's going to be just like that.
Okay.
They'll show it on the video screen just like they show it at, let's say, Wimbledon.
And you always get a good reaction and people locked in for that.
Yeah, so I do think there'll be end up being more challenges as this progresses throughout our time. But it seems like this year it'll be two challenges in the minor leagues per team. I don't think you get more just because you got two right. You get to pick your two and that's it per game. And then I do think it could get up to like, I don't know, maybe 9 is too much because that would be kind of one per inning.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to slow down the game unless it's for instant replay. Then we take 17 minutes to really make sure we might have got it right.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, wanted to throw out this interesting little tidbit came out this morning. Mike Trout had a meeting with Angels coaches yesterday. They determined he will play right field going forward in an effort to preserve his body.
Good. I hope it works, man.
I do too.
It'd be really good if we saw Mike Trout play 120 games this
year. Agreed. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Passer.
All right. What players who change teams are going to have the biggest impact in baseball this year? Next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. And right now, we continue our baseball discussion with Baseball Nuggets.
Little Dallas Cowboy on YouTube hates baseball. He wants us to talk, I'm assuming, NFL draft or free agency for 4 straight hours.
Isn't the draft in like 2.5 months?
No, we have to do it now.
We're not going to do anything in free agency.
But Little Dallas Cowboy hates baseball.
Sorry, man.
More baseball for you, Little Dallas Cowboy. Don't worry.
That's not in reaction to that. We were going to talk about that anyway.
I'll be gone in 8 days. You won't have to worry about me anymore. 8 shows, really.
We're still going to talk about baseball, Mike, even when you're
gone. That's up to you if you want to tick off Little Dallas Cowboy.
I don't want to tick off anybody.
Yeah?
But We're sometimes not just not going to talk baseball.
It's fun to tick people off at times. See yeah. their reaction. You're like, I got under your skin. All right. So we're talking about the best projected players to change teams this offseason. So who's going to have the biggest impact? Now, they base this off of WAR, wins above replacement, per FanGraphs, okay. which is so weird that we have this
different
complicated yeah. stat that nobody can understand. And they're like, well, there's different formulas for different websites. So they will say, hey, if you get 60 WAR for your career, good chance you're a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Like they've actually, there's voters that will only look at WAR because they don't like looking at all the other things. They're just like, well, what was his wins above replacement? And I don't want to make it that simple that they just do that, but that's their number one criteria for voting for Hall of Famers is what was their wins above replacement? And then there's three different WARs that you can
look at. All proprietary, means they're like, yeah, hey, don't worry about it.
Nobody has an idea how they get to the number, but like Juan Soto is number one here. His projected WAR for this upcoming season is 6.4, which is an MVP number. If you take out when Shohei gets to pitch, you get a WAR of 5 or above for a season, you have a chance of winning the MVP.
Yeah.
So Juan Soto yesterday arrived at Port St. Lucie for the Mets, and I just think we've gone over this. I don't even think he's going to play out that 15-year deal. Sure. I think he's going to opt out of it, even though it is crazy. Was it $765
that
or something?
That is correct.
For 15 years, he's 26. He's already a bad defensive player. He's arguably the best hitter in the game, right? He's in that conversation.
I could see that.
But I just look at it and go, he is a DH. You know, like, and I guess, hey, Shohei Ohtani makes a lot of money and he's a DH too. But
yeah. And
he also pitches.
And I always think about the fact, like, I get he got such a longer deal because he's so young, but I always wonder about, like, do you have a finite amount of tread on your body? Like, and so he's really older in baseball years than he actually is because he started playing so young.
Do you think, as where I have the deal on MLB Network, as they're showing Paul Skenes tinkering with pitches,
told you.
Which we just talked about. How do you think the guy is that got to stand in the box there and face him? He's like, oh, yeah, man, I haven't seen live pitching in about 4 months. Why don't you just throw it 103 with movement on it? This will go really well for the start of my spring training.
Or I'm going to try out this new pitch. You'd be like, it's good. It's probably going to work. By the way, Texas Rangers, the rest of the group reported today. So we talked about pitchers and catchers last Wednesday. The rest of the team is in surprise.
All right. So on this list on MLB.com of the players that are going to have big impacts on their new teams, the Astros are going to be all over here in positive and negative ways. So
okay.
The rivalry of the Rangers and the Astros, when we look at what they did this offseason, is going to be very interesting as we go through this list.
We could talk about this another time if you like. Are the Astros the most one of the most intriguing teams in terms of you're like, I'm not entirely sure what that's going to look like?
Yes, except if they have injuries in their starting pitching staff, and they did last year, and they still won the division, so what am I saying? I don't know. I look at their pitching staff, their starting five doesn't look good to me, and they have, as far as I can tell, nobody who looks like they're ready to help when they need to go to starting pitcher number 6, 7, and 8. So yep. I look at last year, they had plenty of injuries again in their rotation, and I believe it was Blanco who stepped up, immediately had a no-hitter early in the year and had a really nice season, and he was a nobody, like, going into spring training. Nobody's like, watch out for Blanco. He's with the Astros, and he could be a really good pitcher. He was. So sometimes you get guys that come out of nowhere and help you out, but I just look at the Astros rotation, and I just go, how are they going to get through 162 games and win 90 games with that rotation?
Yeah.
So, number two, Kyle Tucker. He leaves the Astros. He goes to the Cubs. So, that's a big loss when you look at it. Number three, probably opening day starter against the Texas Rangers will be Garrett Crochet going to the Red Sox, which will be interesting.
Red Sox are loaded up this offseason.
That means Jock Peterson and Evan Carter might not be starting on opening day.
We've talked about some of the questions I want to ask some of the people out there in surprise. That's pretty high up on my list for Boach, just to know more about how he views that general strategy.
Yeah, because that'll be with that game. And then when Garrett Crochet goes out after five innings, I'm assuming then Peterson and Evan Carter come in to the game.
Most incredible pinch hitters, or however you want to describe it.
All right, number four, another loss for the Astros, Alex Bregman. So out of the top four guys that are going to have major impacts on their other teams are Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman both leaving the Astros. So that sounds really bad for the Astros, which is really good for us. Number five, the Astros get Isaac Piadres.
Okay.
So here's where they pick up a player that they think is going to have a major impact in a positive way for the Astros after losing two guys. So as I go down here, Willy Adames going to the Giants, Corbin Burns going to the D-backs, Andrés Giménez going to the Blue Jays, Blake Snell going to the Dodgers, Max Fried going to the Yankees. I get to number 11. So I wanted to go through those quickly to get to our rival here, the Houston Astros. Christian Walker going to the Astros.
Yeah.
So they have, out of the top 11 people that they think are going to make major impacts from going to another team, they have 2 and 4 leaving the Astros, and then they have 5 and 11 coming to the Astros.
Man. See, that just adds all the more intrigue to, like, obviously I want them to fail, but kind of curious what this new incarnation of the Astros is going
to
look like.
Yeah, and when you go to the Yankees, who represented the American League in the World Series, right? That's where the Rangers want to be again. You look at that they lose Juan Soto, the number one guy. Yeah. I mean, that is a huge loss. But then, you know, we forget maybe if you're kind of a casual baseball fan, Max Fried is, when he's healthy, he is one of the five best starting left-handed pitchers in the game. And they got Max Fried with Gerrit Cole. If those two dudes are healthy and you're facing them in the playoffs, and let's say the Rangers are healthy, hey, I love our chances. But Gerrit Cole versus Jacob deGrom and Max Fried versus Nathan Eovaldi, that is
unbelievable.
Those are battles right there. You know, guys can have bad games and you can score a lot of runs, but I can't tell you that DeGrom and Eovaldi are better than Cole and Fried. Like, we'll see how the season plays out, and I hope you get a matchup of Yankees versus Rangers in the playoffs. We haven't had it since 2010. I'd love to see it again.
Me too.
I just would love it to be a 7-game series, because that means you're playing to go to the World Series. And then you get Gleyber Torres, number 12. Well, he left the New York Yankees to go to the Detroit Tigers. And then you get number 14, you get Cody Bellinger, who left the Cubs and going to the Yankees. So the Yankees have a lot of guys kind of on this list that could make, you know, major impacts. Now, I'll get to the Texas Rangers now. I don't get this. I hope the best for him, because I did love talking to him last year. It's Max Scherzer. He is number 22 on this list.
That's a name
thing. But that's higher than I think he should be. And they're projecting his WAR to be a 2. And last year, his WAR on Baseball Reference was 0.4.
So you mean 5 times better this season?
So I just don't see this. So the Rangers lose Max Fried. And then on honorable mention, they got Jock Peterson on here for the Rangers at a 1.8 WAR. So the Rangers really aren't on. I'm going to make this point. The Rangers really aren't on this list for losing anybody, but they're also not on the list for getting anybody.
Which is weird, because I feel like most people are pretty stoked about the offseason that they had in terms of maybe making additions when we didn't think that you'd be able to make that many additions. Maybe it's because they're all like in that mid-tier that it's not going to pop up on this list, but you're like, hey, when you add 3 mid-tier people, that's going to help.
Yeah, and that's where the Rangers are at, right? They had a limited budget.
For sure.
They had to maneuver money around. They wanted to make sure they got Nathan Eovaldi back. Obviously, they said their offseason goal was to get Eovaldi and Yates back. They did not get Yates back. So I look at this list, and I'll tell you what's fun. If you go to MLB.com, because I know my time is up here for baseball. Don't worry, little Dallas Cowboy. We'll talk something else next. There's a lot of good names that changed teams this year.
Yeah.
I just forget, like, Paul Goldschmidt is tied with Max Scherzer at 22. He's with the Yankees. Now, Paul Goldschmidt was an MVP 3 years ago, if I have my years right, maybe 4, for the Cardinals. Now, his career is coming to a close.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's the 22nd guy on here. Is Paul Goldschmidt borderline Hall of Famer, Max Scherzer 100%, you know, in Hall of Famer? He won't get 100% of the vote. But you just start looking at this list, and you're like, man, there are some really good players who changed teams this offseason.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some Dunk in the Trunk. Adam Silver speaks about the future of the Mavericks in Dallas. Did Max save the dunk contest? And did you just skip the All-Star game? Next right here on The Fan.
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.